Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it."
We've got an amazing story here. And I want you to imagine, first of all, I want you to imagine that you're in that crowd, first of all, with Jesus. He has this amazing mixed crowd of people around him. And over the last few chapters, Jesus has been speaking to different members of that crowd. So at one moment, he'll be speaking to the disciples. At the next moment, he'll turn and he'll speak to everyone assembled there. So in that crowd, there are different kinds of people. There are Pharisees. So as you guys know, I'm sure the Pharisees were the religious experts of the day. They were the creme de la creme. They were the top of their class, the top gun, the top 1% of their class. And they were absolute experts, and they were people who, would, it says in the reading, look down on others for not being as good as them. Then I want you to imagine in there, there's some tax collectors. So, and again, I'm sure you're aware of the background, but tax collectors were widely despised in their day. So they were Jews, fellow Jews who've chosen to take work with the Roman occupiers and to extract taxes from the Jewish people. And often by force, they would have enforcers, they would have muscle who would go and extract taxes from people who couldn't pay. And so they were widely despised, widely seen as leeches. I was trying to think of a modern day example. The best I could come up with was these guys. Now, very unfair. Very unfair, because we love traffic wardens, bless them. They're doing a good job. They're keeping our streets clear. They're not corrupt in the same way, I hope, in the same way as tax collectors were. Tax collectors would often charge extra and then skim off the top and become very rich themselves. I trust that these guys don't do that. So we love traffic wardens. But these guys don't get a good reputation. They don't have an easy time necessarily in our culture, I don't think, do they? How many of you would admit to driving past a traffic warden while he's looking rather smug, filling out one of his things? You think, oh, poor fellow, whoever's going to get that? So these guys, there's muttering that goes on about these guys as well, isn't there? But they're good guys, they're just trying to do their job. But tax collectors, Pharisees, and then people of all different backgrounds, different states of being near or far from God. Some of the people in that crowd would have felt very far from God, would have thought, actually, God could never love me. And some others would be keen to get close to God. So a really mixed crowd that Jesus is speaking to. Loads of different kinds of people. So Jesus wants to specify. Jesus at this point turns to a specific group. And so it says in the scripture, to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. So firstly, they're confident in their own righteousness. Not God's righteousness, but they think they've got it sorted themselves because they follow all of the rules from the Torah. They follow all of the law. They've invented more and more and more holiness codes, and they are absolutely whiter than white in their view. And as a result, they look down on everyone else. I read somewhere, someone said, when you're always looking down on other people, it's hard to fix your eyes on Jesus. So they're looking down on people. And actually that, in some ways, is meaning that they can't look up to God. They can't get close to God. So these are the guys that Jesus wants to bring correction to this morning. So he creates these two characters. And speaking to this crowd, who does he choose? He chooses a Pharisee and a tax collector. So Jesus has these two characters. And I want us to think about two things. I want us to think about the posture that the two groups adopt before God and the different types of petition that they make before him. So let's have a look together at verses 11 and 12. So I'm coming from the NIV. I think some of you guys have got a different translation, but it's pretty much the same. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. So first of all, notice his posture. Jesus tells us that he stands by himself. He doesn't stand close to others. He doesn't want to be associated with that tax collector. And he's not in community. He's not with the people. He's not of the people. He sees himself as being separate to or better than. And secondly, notice his petition. And he names before God in a twisted kind of prayer of thankfulness. He thanks God that he's not like those other people. So he says, I thank you, God, that I'm not like these robbers, these evildoers, these adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And of course, as Jesus is telling this story, as he's relaying this parable, the tax collectors and the sinners and the Pharisees are all standing next to one another. This is a kind of dynamite moment that Jesus is creating here. And this man, even though he knows the Torah so well, what he's doing is he's standing in judgment over those guys. He knows actually that God is the only one who can judge, but he's standing in judgment over these guys. Now, like me, I'm sure that none of you ever judge anyone, because we're Christians, aren't we? And we're too good for that. But we just point out the mistakes that other people make instead, or we point out what someone else isn't doing as well as perhaps they might. Sometimes in the car home, you know, I'm standing up here as a preacher. You guys have got a car journey home after this. So sometimes in the car home, you debrief, and it's good to go through stuff with someone. But sometimes I wonder whether we fall into that ourselves a little bit. Finally, he says to God, he says, I've reminded you of who I'm not like these adulterers and these tax collectors. Let me remind you of what I am like. He says, Lord, thank you that I'm someone who fasts twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. So I think in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, it says that God recommends you fast once a year, and it was only on the Day of Atonement. And actually what he's doing is he's saying, God, I go above and beyond how good I am. And he wants God to know that he's the kind of person who should be in. And he wants to say to God, I should be in, I deserve to be in, because I managed to do all those things that you've asked us to do, and more. And he's saying, and then by implication, he's judging all those who aren't able to. He says, I know a lot of people don't manage to fast or don't manage to tithe, but I managed to do both. So you can relax, God. I'm here. I've done it. I've achieved it. I can tick it off. Hooray for me. George Bernard Shaw, in one of his plays, described one of his characters as a self-made man who worships his own creator. And it certainly sounds as though the Pharisee is worshipping his own ability to win himself righteousness. He's not depending on God. And sometimes I think the biggest idol we can have is ourselves. And I think that is certainly the case here with the Pharisee. What about us? What about us? I wonder how easy it is for us to slip into the same thing. And I wonder if, like me, sometimes you kind of catch yourself wanting to contribute to your own salvation in some way. I think we still do that today. We think that actually our good deeds and our work and our following the rules and us coming to church faithfully, all these things are great, they're really important. But actually, we forget that gospel is just sheer gift, that grace is just sheer gift. So Jesus contrasts this man with another man, this tax collector. So let's have a look at him. Verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So as before, notice his posture. He can barely look up. If the Pharisee had strides up to God and looks God in the eye, as it were, and he says, yes, I did it, God. I did it. I met all those requirements you gave me. I managed it. Well, this tax collector comes knowing that he can't do it, knowing that he can't make the grade, knowing that he falls short. And then it says he stands at a distance. And I think stands at a distance from the Pharisee, because he can probably feel the weight of the Pharisee's glare and judgment. But also, I think, stands at a distance from God. And, you know, I'm sure you guys use this phrase here, you're near or far from God. Has Brandon shared that with you? It's a good question. Sometimes we ask people that we meet. So how about you? Do you feel near or far from God at the moment? And in my experience, the vast majority, 90%, say, yeah, probably far. Probably far. And actually, I think that a lot of our friends who don't have a relationship with God would actually feel a little bit like this tax collector, that they'd be so aware of their own brokenness that they just don't feel like God could ever love them, and that they stand at a distance, they retreat, and they move away from God. I have a friend called Ellis, who I asked Ellis if he minded me sharing his story, and he said it was fine. Ellis is part of our church at Holy Trinity. He has had a very colourful life. He, in his words, he describes himself as being, well, he says, I was basically a hired thug. He was basically a hired thug, and he would just work the doors. He was a doorman in Leicester over 10 or 15 years. He grew up in Highfields. Well, I won't share the details, but he's done some awful things in his life by his own admission. He was in and out of prison. He says that when he went into prison, sometimes he'd go along to the chapel, and sometimes that was to kind of deal drugs, but sometimes he'd begin to hear about Jesus, and he was convinced that there was no way God could ever love him. That actually he'd done, you know, I hear about this God who is a God of love, who loves all of his creation, but actually I know that I've done so many bad things, I need to be in a special category. And he said that he would go in and out of prison, and whenever he would come out of prison, he might have started to read a Bible a little bit in prison, but he says it was like he would drop kick his Bible out of his life again, and then he'd go back to doing what he did before. And so 3 years ago, he came out of prison again. But this time he went along to, we do a kind of soup kitchen, kind of homeless shelter at Trinity. And he went along and he met a lady called Bridget, who runs the compassion ministry work that we do. And Bridget, I don't know kind of what happened on that particular day, but really God just whacked him one, met him. And he really realized that actually there was nothing he could do to stop the Father's love from coming. If he came, and his words for it, and I always think it's beautiful, he just says, Lord, I surrender. He said to Jesus one day, I surrender. I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. And I know that I am so broken, I'm going to throw myself on your grace and your mercy. And it's absolutely changed his life. And Ellis is now reading these stories with friends of his. And he runs a small kind of missional community for other guys who've had lots of kind of brokenness in his life. But actually, if it weren't for that moment, Ellis would still be on that kind of boomerang thing where he would go kind of close to God and he would think, actually, I can get a glimpse of your holiness and your splendor and your majesty, and you could never love me, really. And this is how this tax collector feels at this moment. He beats his breast and he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It is by faith alone. he puts his faith entirely in the goodness of God. He says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So these two postures, these two stances, and these two types of petition are really illustrative for us. So Jesus is saying, he tells this parable, there's these two guys. One of them goes into the temple and approaches God like this and postures himself before God, positions himself before God like this, maybe like this, or like this. Yeah, I'm here. Don't worry. It's okay. You can relax, God. And the other guy positions himself like this and says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. So it's just a reminder to us, again, a reminder to us that when we come to God, we come with yielded hearts. We come knowing that without him, we're nothing. We know that we're dust, that we only have breath in our lungs because he allows us to. We only continue to exist because he allows us to. And we're aware of all the ways in which we've fallen short, like the tax collector. And that's the beauty. The title of this story in your booklets is Accepted by God. That actually we come to God knowing our own brokenness, knowing that we could never fulfill all the criteria. And then we receive his love and his grace again. So this is Jesus' glorious punchline. He says, I tell you, it was this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, who went home justified before God. And again, imagine yourself in that crowd. That would have felt like a punch in the face, wouldn't it, for the Pharisees? In front of all those people, in front of tax collectors, sinners, all these different kinds of people, the one who thought he was in found out actually he was out because of his pride, because he was so self-satisfied. And I was an English teacher for years before I worked for Trinity, and just a nerdy moment, if you'll forgive me. I love the fact that the Pharisee, the one who would normally be named in that society, is the one unnamed in this. So Jesus says, I tell you, is this man, the tax collector, not that other one. The Pharisee becomes the other. And this is that upside down kingdom of God again that we see. That should, I hope, challenge all of us. I think sometimes it's where, I don't know if you ever do that. Do you ever do that? Where you read the Gospels and you think, okay, I'm the Pharisee. I think I'm in. I know I've got relationship with God. Am I just slipping into, am I taking it for granted? Am I in some way thinking it's because I managed to tick all the boxes, all the religious boxes? Actually, it's just sheer grace. It's sheer grace. And then Jesus says this, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. He says, don't sit in the prestigious seats at the dinner party, at the wedding. Sit in the cheap seats in case someone comes to you and says, oi, you, can you move, please? Can you go down that end? And that's what's happened, really, isn't it? In front of all these people, in front of this crowd, what Jesus has done is he says, you think you're sitting in those seats, but really I'd like you to sit there. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And this is why Jesus tells this story, or rather Luke places this story of the little children immediately after this parable. Have a look at verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. It's as if the disciples are saying, don't you know who this is? Stop bothering him. Stop bothering him. He's a holy man. He's a rabbi. He's a teacher from God. Don't bring your children to him. Children were nothing in that society. Don't bring your children to him. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. receive it like a little child. So how do little children receive things? It was beautiful before. We had the little children, just that openness, the wide-eyed kind of wonder at the world, the sense that I'm not the master of it. I can't do all this stuff and make it all work and pin it all down and tick all my boxes. Children just receive. Children just receive open-eyed and with gratitude and with awe. So, you know, in the snow, we had a bit of a snow day on Friday. I don't think my wife and I were ready for a snow day, but in terms of just the kids, and it's a kind of a long story, but I'd injured my knees and I was hobbling around like this and I couldn't really walk, so I couldn't take them out sledging. We went to, Sarah nipped to Tesco and bought a jigsaw. So we had epic jigsaw making session, snowy outside, all the kids in their dressing gowns, super cosy, and us all around this table with this enormous jigsaw. But we brought this jigsaw home, this gift home, and the kids didn't go, oh yeah, thank you, yeah, that's yeah, you're giving us what we owe you, you owe us, tick it off, thank you, fantastic. Like the kids receive things with just they go, yay, Dad, thanks so much, and they take it and they get involved and they get stuck in. Children receive things without a sense of entitlement. And what Jesus is teaching here is that actually we receive the kingdom of God like little children. Not because we deserve it. We know we don't deserve it. We receive the kingdom of God with wide-eyed wonder and gratitude, with a thank you to our loving Father. In Psalm 8, the psalmist says this. He says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. And I want to suggest this morning that posture of a child before their father is the posture, the psalmist says, that provides a stronghold against our enemies. When we position ourselves correctly before Father God, and when we come and we gather in worship like this, we're doing that more and more and more. But as we get up in the morning, we take a breath and we thank Jesus that we can even take a breath. We thank him for this day. Everything is a gift. We receive the kingdom of God like little children. And then he says quite soberingly, truly I tell you, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. We might say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do many great things in your name? And he will say, I never knew you. If we don't receive the kingdom of God like a little child, we may find that we do not enter it. We come to God in humility. We come to God knowing our own brokenness in gratitude.